a lot of money on, but just wouldn't get the dog hair off her couch. She went out and bought another one. It works great. Jacob Goldstein, NPR News.
Support for Planet Money comes from Athena Health, committed to helping physicians manage industry change and transition to ICD-10 by the October 2015 deadline. More about cloud-based EHR and practice management services at athenahealth.com.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Our theme music was written by BJ Lederman and arranged by Jim Pugh. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm David.
Time is running out to get your tickets for the 2015 All-Day Ag Outlook meeting. It's set for March 10th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Our analysts will discuss the day's news, a fresh WASDE report for corn, soybeans, and cash grain, and whatever else you want to talk about. Sue Martin will deliver a keynote. Murray Wise will give us his projections for land values. And Chris Hurt will take us through his livestock projections. Cost for the meeting is $25 and includes a continental breakfast and Beef House lunch. Get your tickets by calling 217-333-7300 or online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Time is running out.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter, March wheat, 560 and a half, up 6.5. Soft March, 529 and a quarter, up 8. March corn, 383 unchanged. July, 398 and a half, up a quarter. December, 413 and a quarter, up a quarter. March soybeans, 993, up 9 and a quarter. July, 1001 and a half, up 10. November, 973 and a half, up 9 and a quarter. March soybean meal, 333.50, up $3. March soybean oil, 32.45, up 44. February live cattle, 159, 17 and a half, up 7 and a half. March feeder cattle, 201.65, up 135. February lean hogs, 62.15, up 20. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Atchison, Kansas. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
I would have thought that maybe yesterday the fundamentals would have support something of a rally in the grains, and we really didn't get that too much, but maybe today is a different day, and a couple of fundamentals coming across as a tipping point, particularly to help soybeans.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the report from Tuesday has been helping soybeans kind of under the sheets, under the covers, and that in the form of the bean-corn ratio. That bean-corn ratio reacted sharply to the report because the beans got both a lower U.S. ending stocks number and a lower global stocks number. And that ratio for the new crop went from 2.28 to 2.36 today. It's essentially erased all of February's losses in terms of beans losing the premium to the corn. And so now beans are really gaining back all of their premium for the past 12, 15 days as a result of this report. But if you look, like you say, at the net-net, flat price changes that we've seen since the report has come out, it's really been more macro in terms of the dollar, the crude, the peace deal in Ukraine. That shot the currencies of the Ukrainians and the Russians higher. That brought on the crude oil, but it also brought on a little bit of a stronger dollar bias, too, and that, I think, hurt the wheat market quite a bit yesterday. And so I think you've had a split mindset because the macro and the micro really haven't matched up until today. We did get some European growth GDP numbers that were much better than the trade thought. Consumer sentiment numbers here in this country much worse than the trade was thinking. And we also have had talk by Japan's central bank that they're tired of seeing the weak yen do nothing for their economy and for their trade. And they're actually talking about, this is rumor mill, but they're talking about eliminating or stopping their QQE and that's essentially their monetary policy easing, just like we are starting to stop ours. So that's brought some life and some short covering to the Japanese yen. So all these things are starting to work together, Dave, and all of a sudden we're starting to see now the copper hitting a three-week high. The crude oil and the wheat are both trying to challenge their Monday weekly high, and the dollar is trying to sink back towards its weekly low and actually challenge last week's low. And meanwhile, the crude oil is also trying to get above that 53.70 level that would be a breakout on a daily and weekly chart.
So you add all those macros to a few more fundamentals, Russia declining an Egyptian request for exemption from their export duty, a new case of BSE in Alberta, this one in not an old cow, but in a beef cow, CONAB reducing soybean crop by 1.3 million metric tons, and the NOPA crush expected to be record large next week on Tuesday. Where do we go forward?
Well, I think, like we talked about last Friday, I really put a lot on the technicals here this week. I think the technicals, as they close today, are crucial for how we finish out the rest of February, this being that crop insurance base price month. And so the corn and beans, I think the biggest takeaway on the report that we haven't talked about, other than the bean-corn ratio, is that for both a report standpoint and the weekly export sales standpoint, that stronger dollar and the fact that it's running back up towards earlier this week to 12-year levels is not hurting the corn and bean demand. Yes, it's hurting the wheat, and yes, it's hurting the meat, the red meat export demand as well, but it's not hurting the row crops. And so I think between that and the fact that soybeans especially got the best of both reports in terms of lower U.S. stocks and lower global stocks, that takes the pressure off beans to weigh on the corn market. And I like the fact that this bean-corn ratio is doing what it's doing. If we could get a breakout there and then a breakout to the upside in the crude and in the wheat especially, that would be kind of the final link in the chain to, I think, an investor asset reallocation back into the commodities, back into the ag commodities specifically. And it would, I think, point to that sell signal and the stochastics on the monthly dollar chart being realized, and that would be really nice to see. So really time is of the essence here with this close today and how we look once we come back from the holiday.
What do you look at regarding the ratio of corn and beans vis-a-vis the average insurance price thus far this month?
I was talking to a client in Indiana about that this morning, and you know, he was talking about probably paying around $8.50 to $9 to lock in $375 an acre on beans, and he would probably have to be paying around $12.50 an acre to lock in about $420 an acre on corn, both of those 80% levels. You look at those numbers, you look at the cost and what it locks in, it really favors the beans. I mean, if you're going to have to pay $12.50 in corn and not have to get much more than $400 an acre, why not do the beans and save yourself $4 or $5 an acre in cost and really only be down about $40 or $50 an acre in terms of what the crop insurance protects you at that 80% level. And you know, obviously that's county specific and very farm specific as well. But when I look at what I'm looking at right now with producers, it's certainly favoring the beans, and this week kind of puts you over the edge that it's certainly favoring the beans a lot more.
And the trade expecting that maybe we even might plant more beans and corn acres.
Yes, and also rightly talking about the sorghum and milo. You and I have talked about how the cash prices of sorghum out in this area are really starting to get the attention of the farmer, and rightly so, because the demand continues to be really, really strong. I think USDA put the four-week put the export sales yesterday at about 30% above the four-week average. China keeps buying our sorghum because it really doesn't match or meet some of their import tariff requirements, and so private importers can get those sorghum imports in and not have to worry about paying extra for it.
So if I'm a producer and I like how the math works out for planting beans next year, what should I do with the November 974?
Well, you're right on the cusp of breaking out in the March and the May. I think as we get into the harvest of the South American crop, we have to realize at this stage that it's really about the old crop leading the new crop up, especially given what you and I are talking about right now, and especially given that the USDA Ag Forum comes up next week and we'll start talking about new crop acres all over again. Unless there's a bullish surprise there in the beans for new crop, I think the old crop really has to lead the new crop up because it's about the demand. That's really what we're talking about is harvest delays starting to be seen in parts of Brazil. They had their planting delays. That's keeping our demand fresh on the export front. So if we get a breakout in the March and May beans here, which is about a 10 cents higher than today's highs, then you could, I think, be looking for a 35 to 45 cent rally in the front end. I think that would translate into another 25 cents upside in the November. So you get to 10.05, I think you really want to start getting some hedges back in.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day, sir.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Atchison, Kansas. March corn, 384 and a quarter, up 1 1/4. July, 399 and 3/4, up 1 1/2. December, 414 and a half, up 1 1/2. March soybeans, 994 and 3/4, up 11. November, 974 and a half, up 10 and a quarter. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana. It's now 10 o'clock Central Time.
This is Invisible.